Thank you so much. Well, Brother Paul Pritchard is a great blessing. Brother Paul, come on up. And of course, he's our missionary, and his heart is that he would much rather be in Brazil and leave all of us behind. Boy, that gives you a complex when somebody doesn't want to be around you. But he would rather be down there. But the Lord has saw fit through some health issues, Miss Sharon, and things of life, that he is here doing what he needs to do to take care of his family. Because you understand, men, that your family is your first ministry. If I pastored this church and it grew to 1,000 and I lost my family because of it, I made the wrong choice. Wouldn't matter how many people said, oh, you're such a great pastor or great this. If I lost them, then I've made a horrible choice. And so he saw fit to, the Lord saw fit to allow these things to come to pass. And so he's here. But I certainly love when folks can't do what they'd like to do, which would be true with Brother Paul, doesn't just sit somewhere and say, well, I guess I can't do anything. And so I've watched Brother Paul do things that you all haven't had a chance to see, and that is that he is such a blessing to pastors of small, it doesn't matter what size, but many small churches around in our area, some of whom are bivocational, some of whom have a retired situation where they're able to they're retired, but they still have a church of 15, 20, 40, 50, 100. So he is a great blessing, not only just to fill in, yes, that's a wonderful thing, but just to encourage them. And he and I have gotten to partner on some of those things, and it's a real blessing. So I thank God for Brother Paul. And so when you see him or don't see him for a long time, that's because he's out encouraging somebody, preaching the word, encouraging some pastor. And so he is a great encouragement to me, and I thank God for him. And I've asked him to preach to us for tonight, and I trust it'll be a great, great blessing. Brother Paul, come preach.
God bless you. Amen. Thank the Lord. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. I want to give you just a little report on the brother that passed away in Cape Verde, Adibaldo. He passed away, had a work going on, and his wife is there by herself right now. She can't come to the States. And I won't mention no name, but someone went by the work and tried to, you know, say, well, we'll take the work from here and different things. And she called Preach and said, Brother Paul, can you, my son, Junior, said, can you come and take this work? It's in Cape Verde, it's on another island, but she literally ran that person off that was just trying to, you know, scoop up a work that's, you know, and they have money, they have some money that churches have sent them to build a church. And so Philip's leaving tomorrow. He's going to go take care of all the paperwork and get that work secure under Preach Ministries. So that's good news. That's real good news that it'll be under Preach, and you can, you know, it's going to be done right. Amen. So we praise the Lord for that. Wonderful couple. I've met them on different occasions years ago from Fairfax Baptist Temple, and good people. So another thing I wanted to mention to you that Paul Jr. is sending 3 containers to Romania. 3 containers with Bibles, but also with materials, medical materials, as well as blankets and everything else that they can put on a container. And they're sending 3 of them to Romania. Now, Paul has a camp in Romania. It's the Lord, isn't it? Just the Lord. He has a camp 1 hour from the Ukraine border. And some of the refugees that are coming across the border are already in his camp. So praise the Lord. Amen. And he's going to help them physically as well as the gospel. And we praise the Lord. God is just so good, is he? God is good. God works things out. And I praise the Lord that God is just helping us to help others. You know, that's what we want to do. We want to help others, amen, with the gospel. And I'm helping a church right now teaching those 20 lessons, and I got a call this week. I'm preaching usually out. I drove about a thousand miles this past weekend, and you just pray for Brother Pritchard, amen. I'm not as young as I used to be, but I can still move, amen. As long as I can move, I'm going to move forward for the Lord. So just pray that God will help us to be a blessing. I had a pastor call me this week and ask me just as soon as I could finish these lessons, when I start the lessons in another church. So just pray, Lord, will help us to teach and train, and that's what it's all about. It's, you know, I love this session that the pastor's open to us, because that's exactly what we need to do. We need to train others that they may train others. So God help us to be able to do that. As a matter of fact, there's no coincidences with God. I know that. But I'm preaching Sunday morning in North Carolina. It's called Sweet Home Baptist Church. Amen. And the pastor, in 1975, this pastor, this man, got saved, was in our church, and he's sitting in the middle of the aisle. We invited him out, and he came. He's 77, I think, now, or 78. But you know, when they gave the invitation, this big old fella just got out of the service, and amen. he just could put his arm kind of around my waist, and honestly, I thought he was going to the altar. And he kind of scooted me out of the aisle, and instead of going to the altar, he went out the back door. So I went out there, and you know, he had to smoke. You know, he had to get his nerves calmed down a little bit, because God had got a hold of his heart. And so I talked to him after service, and talked to him, and he on his way home, this man that had never feared anything in his life, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit smote him, and he got home and he called his mother and said, "Mom, this is what happened tonight." And she said, "Well, you better get right with God." Well, that's a good mother, isn't it? You better get right. And he dropped the phone, got on his face, and asked God to save him. Amen. Called me at 3:00 in the morning and said, "Pa, what happened? I got in. I'm saved." He said, "I'm going to heaven." Amen. So he come to our church, and we started working together. I started going to his house every Saturday and teaching him everything I knew and some things I wasn't sure about, but training him. And he'd come to our house once a week, two times a week, get down on the floor and just go with the Word of God. And he'd come and he'd say, "Paul, what about this? What about this? I need to understand this." And I would teach him, tell him, and you know what I knew. I'd pass it to him. And then after about 10 months or 11 months or so, he said, "Paul, look what I found in the Bible." It hit. It struck home. Training and teaching him for 10 months. Then he starts showing me things in the Bible. So it's time for me to leave. I left and went on to Bible college. And I would call him from Bible college. On the way home from Bible school, I'd go by a telephone booth and call him and tell him how exciting it is to be serving God and in school and you know, being trained a little bit more. And do I have to tell you, after about a year telephone calls and all the change I could ever gather up, he said, "Well, next year I'm going to come to school." So he did. He came to school, and thank God, he graduated in 1981, and he's been pastoring ever since, teaching and training people. And I'm not saying that Paul does this. No, Paul was just available, you know, to do this, to help people. And I got, you know, people that God's helped me to train. and teach them, Brother John, the way. I mean, no, it's not me. Please don't ever think it's not me. It's God. It's God. I got a man in Brazil right now. It's a missionary in Brazil. He was 19 years of age. I'm going to get to scripture in just a second. He was 19 years of age. He had tried to commit suicide, and they put him on the job where I worked in Greenville, South Carolina. And third day on the job, the first day I gave him a track. Another brother is talking to him. The second day I asked him, did he read it? No. Here's another one. Give him another track. I had no idea what he'd been through or none of the. His uncle owned the factory where I work. And so the third day he asked the Lord there on the machine. He was running the machine. He asked the Lord to save him. He asked the Lord, 19 years old. So I was in Bible college, and I'm telling, I have these 3x5 cards. And I had tests. And I'd write those tests down. I'd write all the information down. And I'd say, here, Ronnie, would you give these out to me? And all the time, he's a very intelligent guy. He's getting everything I'm studying. And he said, Paul, I don't want to preach. I don't want to preach. I said, Ronnie, you don't need, this is not for preaching. This is every Christian needs to know this. Every Christian needs to know these things. So he, after about a year, 10 months working with me, he come in one Monday morning and couldn't even talk. He was so hoarse that he couldn't talk. I said, Ronnie, what have you been doing? I've been preaching. Out on the street Sunday preaching. I said, okay, Ronnie, since you feel like you're called to preach, he said, yeah, I know God wants me to preach. I said, well, you need to study. Got him in school, got him in college, and he studied there at Tabernacle. And he's single, right? I said, he needs a wife. I said, I talked to my wife the other day, and I said, which would be a good lady for this guy? And she picked one out for him, amen. And so he said, well, who are you going to marry me? I said, I'll perform the wedding there at Tabernacle. I performed the wedding. And now he's somewhere in the northern part of Brazil opening churches and starting churches. It's just good. And, God has just helped me to help others. And I want to thank God tonight. You ask to testify. I always want to testify. I want to tell folks I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad God spoke to my heart as a young kid. And you know what? God spoke to my heart. I was 19 years old. I was called to the service. So I was married already. I got married at 18, and the service they called me when I was 19. And so my wife went back to her mother's home, and I got on a bus, went for my physical and all that. And back then you didn't have cell phones or nothing, you didn't know what was going on there. You just went. And so they examined me and everything and found the problem with my back. They didn't feel like I could do all the strenuous exercise or all those things, and I was gone 3 or 4 days. But I'll never forget, on the way back home in that bus, the Holy Spirit of God paid me a visit. He come in and just broke my heart. I mean, he shattered my soul. And I said, Lord, what do you want? I said, I'm yours, Lord. I'll serve you the rest of my life. Just one little, a commitment to God. I will serve you, Lord, the rest of my life. That's a long time ago. The rest of my life's not over, but I'm going to serve him, the Lord willing, the rest of my life. It was a commitment. God called me to preach October 10th, 1976. God called me to the mission field in May of 1979, went on to the mission field in 1983. We went to the mission field, and thank God, God has done some marvelous things. I'm praying, Pastor, that one day you can go to Brazil and just see the work. See the souls. I don't regret one second. And my wife, she's real sick now. Please pray for my wife. She's fallen and she fell out of the bed the other day. And just pray for her. She's having a hard time. But let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I won't be finished by 8, but I'll stop, okay? But I just want to share with you what God has done. God has done, and I praise the Lord. One-on-one, I really loved one-on-one training those men in Brazil. And I told you the other day, I think I have 9, but I saw one on the internet the other day. I think 10 preachers that we have there in Brazil. 10 men of God. And what they said just last week, one of the pastors said, I think we need to start another church over in that other village. I said, amen, amen. That's what they need to do, amen. They need to do it. They need to go on and start other works for God's glory and honor, amen. So any advice I could give as an older person maybe to some older people is, you know, it's never too late to get somebody under your wing and try to help them. You'd be surprised what you know if you begin to study and share with others. It'll come. God will give it to you. God will help you. God will help you to train others. You know, teaching faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. We should be a link in a chain that extends into the next generation. A link in a chain that extends into the next generation. One man said, you cannot have success unless you have a successor. You have someone to follow you. And so, I think it was mentioned last week or week before, it's a pastor of mine mentioned it. You know, can a work be seen without your name on it, even though you've done it? That's good. Amen. If we can do that, because we don't need to be seen. It's the glory of God needs to be seen. And I love Brother Marty last week. He mentioned that several times, and it is. It's to God's glory, and there's nothing that we can do within ourselves. And I believe that's the reason Apostle Paul was talking to Timothy in chapter number 2. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know, the strength that we have is just man's strength can only go so far. And the work that you and I need to do is not made from man's strength. It's made from God's grace and God's strength. God can keep us going on when we seem like we can't go another mile. I was preaching the other day, you know, God's being saved. Being saved is not exhausting. I know one preacher told me after I preached it, he said, well, brother preacher, where do you get that? Because I get exhausted every Sunday. What I was saying is the joy of the Lord, the strength that God gives. He said, I want you to be strong, Timothy, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's where we get our strength. Does not the Bible teach us that the joy of the Lord is our strength? So we get strength from God. And he exhorted Timothy, I want you to be strong, but I want you to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's where the strength comes from, is from the Lord. Amen. So, Timothy, I want you to be strong. Paul, he gives some charges. If you look through 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, you'll see some charges that he gave to Timothy. I mean, they're strong charges. There in chapter number 1 of 1 Timothy, I think that's the one I was looking at, the charge that he gave to Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 18. Now, a charge is a command. A charge is a mandate. So what he did to Timothy, he gave him a charge. Now, listen how strong this is. He said, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." Do you know, folks, that we are in a war? You know, we get up, and if we don't pray and try to crucify the flesh every morning, listen, we'd be in the flesh all day long. It's a warfare. And you know, he told Timothy in other places, Timothy, you got to endure hardness. You're going to go through afflictions. You're going to go through suffering. But he said, Timothy, I want you to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I love communicating with God, don't you? I love walking with God. When you're young, when I was young, I'll say that. When you're a young Christian, you just kind of see what you can get by with. Sometimes you just kind of walk on the edge. But as you get older and you grow in grace and knowledge and in the strength of God, you want to be close to the Lord. You don't want nothing between. My pastor used to sing a lot years ago. He'd say, "Nothing between my soul and the Savior, that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep away clear, let nothing between." You know, God gives us this same charge that He gave to Timothy. He said that you might war a good warfare. A good warfare. We're in a war. And we need to, he says, verse 19, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put aside concerning faith have made shipwreck. But we're to hold on. This is a charge that he gave to Timothy. Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That was one charge. If in 1 Timothy 5:21, he gave another charge. 1 Timothy 5:21, he said, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one another, doing nothing by partiality." So he charged Timothy before God. He charged Timothy, you remember the time in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, "I charge thee," there in chapter 4, where he talked about, he gave him a charge before God that he would preach the word. We use it when we ordain people. Sometimes we use that charge that we give to them. Timothy, I want you to be strong. And God is telling us tonight, we need to be strong. We need to be warriors. We need to be fighting the good fight of faith. And it is a fight. But we need to pass it on to others. Look what he says, if I can get to it. I got time, I believe. He said, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So what is it? What is the need? If we understand something, we learn something, if we don't pass it on. We need to pass it on. Pass it on to your kids. Pass it on to your grandkids. Pass it on to your fellow workers. What you've heard of me. Paul and I used to pray together. Young, 13, 14 years old, we'd go on visitation together. And he's seen God working. He's seen God working. He's seen the Lord's work being done. But he came to the place, he said one night in his trailer, he said he just came to the place where he just seen so much of God and God in our lives and God working. But you know, he just fell on his face one night, that Paul did, and said, "Lord, I know you're the God of my daddy." He said, "I know that." He said, "But Lord, will you be my God?" I mean, he grew to the place where I wasn't telling him anything. He knew. He knew. And to be honest, he's outgrew me. And that's wonderful, isn't it? Successor. Successor. You know, he's the one behind, amen. And that's what I can sleep good at night about. Lord, help us to things that you've heard, he said, Timothy, be strong. Being strong means to be able, enabled to increase. And our source of strength is Christ. Timothy was to be the follower of Apostle Paul. And Paul was telling him to be strong and gave him charges that he should be strong in the things of God. He said, Timothy, remember the things you've heard. Remember the things you've heard. Not only in the book of Timothy, but Paul, he traveled with Paul. He traveled with the Apostle Paul. And no doubt he heard many, many messages. But he told Timothy, he said, I don't want you to be ashamed, Timothy. Don't be ashamed, he said in verse 8 of chapter 1. He said, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Don't be ashamed, Timothy. We need to stand for Jesus, don't we? You know what the Lord spoke to my heart the other day? I got neighbors and I passed out tracts, and the Lord spoke to my heart and nudged my soul and said, do you love your fellow neighbor? Do you care enough for him to tell him about me? Do you care enough about others to tell them about me? And I tell you, it put me under conviction. We need to tell others, don't we? We need to tell them what? We need to tell them what we've heard. Amen. You know what Timothy, Paul told Timothy? Listen, don't forget, Timothy, the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the seed of David, he raised from the dead. Don't ever forget that. So what was Timothy to do? He was to take what he heard and pass it on to other men. We know that Jesus died, don't we? We know that he was buried. We know about the virgin birth. We know the doctrines in the Word of God. But sometimes people just need to hear that Jesus loves them, that Jesus died for them, that Jesus went to the cross for them. You don't have to be theological. Just tell them what Jesus did for you. Amen. Tell them your testimony. You'd be surprised what God will do. I've had people run me off, but I've had people to listen to. Was out witnessing, you know, a lot of people, they see you coming up to the door, and maybe because of COVID, other reasons, they don't want you to. He shut the door. I know it was a woman because she had fingernails. I seen her hand around the door. But you know what? I'm going to go to the next one and the next one, and I'm going to tell them what Jesus done for them. Tell them what I've heard. This is a faithful saying, Paul said, that Jesus came into the world to die for sinners, of whom I am chief, he said. We need to pass it on. Pass it on. He said, this same thing you've heard, he said, among many witnesses, this same thing, this very same thing, don't mess with it, just pass it on. Don't change it, just pass it on. This same thing that you've heard, commit thou to faithful men who can teach others also. That's what we need to do. Just commit it. Just pass what you know. And that's what he's telling Timothy. Timothy, you know these things. You've heard them. I want you to be strong in God's grace and in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to, the thing that you've heard among many witnesses. You know what God spoke? We got the best, the grandest treasure in this world. And it is truth. We have truth. And we can pass our truth or God's truth on. Hear, receive, and transmit. That's what we need to do. We need to hear, receive it, and then transmit it to someone else. Thank the Lord. Hear, receive, and transmit. what God wants us to do. Faithful men. That commit means to deposit as a trust. Make a deposit as a trust for protection. You know, that's what we need to do. Pastor said before that we need to reach the ones behind us. One man said, you turn around and you're old. How many can agree with me there? Amen. You turn around and you're old. Lord, help us to use the rest of our life, what we have. Use it to deposit these truths into other people. Commit. Make a deposit. Amen. Make a deposit. I got a checking account if you'd want to make any. No, forget it. I'm not good at jokes, Pastor. I just can't do that. You're good. You're good. Commit, deposit to who? It says the faithful men. Faithful men. And I looked it up, and it's, you know, we're make this deposit into believers. After they're saved, of course. You know, you get people saved, but we're to deposit the truth into believers. I've seen so many people. Even in my family, I failed, I guess, some of my brothers claim to be saved, and you know, they're not out there, they're not serving God. And taught Sunday school for years, or you know, involved in church, and today, 70-some years old, they're not even in church. Makes you wonder, why didn't I work more on depositing the truth into them? I was working in Brazil, trusting God to help them, amen. Believers. Men that are sure men. And we got some. There's a lot. A lot of men that love God. A lot of men that have grown more than myself. But what we need to do is pass it on to someone else. Pass it on. True men. Sure men. Teach others also. So what are we trying to do? We're trying to teach them that they can teach others. Pass it to them. Deposit it into them. Jesus deposited his 3.5 years into 12, didn't he? 12 men. 12 men every day, every day, every day, every day. Paul went to Mozambique, South Africa, in early 2000. He stayed there in huts and was put in prison. We're taping, aren't we? Put in jail for preaching on, you know, preaching. But he deposited for months and months and months. He won people to the Lord, and he spent 8 hours every day teaching them the Bible. And after some time, he said he went out and started 10 bush churches. Train, teach, and then let them start work for God. Teachers. Teaching others also means to be an instructor. Teach them to be instructors. Teach them to be masters. Teach them to be teachers. So the Lord help us. Amen. Help us to carry this on to the next generation. This chain don't need to be broken in our generation. It needs to carry on. One man said you ought to be able to that chain go all the way back to Christ. We need to teach the younger generation that they may teach others also. Amen. By the grace of God. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you.
God bless you. Well, let's do this. We're going to pray together. Miss Jenna's coming, and I'm not sure where she was hanging out back there, but praise the Lord she's here. She's going to play something for us. And while you sit there and just let the some things gel, or maybe even do more than gel, I guess, set in on you. And I hope that some things came to your mind that the Spirit of God was moving upon you. I'll tell you a quick story. I was, you know, I like old cars, and so I was in Nashville for a meeting here some time back, and there's a car sales in indoor, a bunch of old cars. And went there and looked around. You could look around, as long as you didn't touch them. They were all for sale, but they were also like a display showroom. And, you know, it wasn't much fun because I couldn't show anybody else, hey, look at this one, look at this one. And that's what the Lord brought to mind when Brother Paul was teaching about that and continued on down, putting into somebody else. Yes, it's good what the Lord has done in your heart, but it's a whole lot better when you can experience that and give it to a kid on your bus, or when you give that and you can give it to a young man or young lady or family member. And I hope that the Lord did in your heart what he did in mine tonight, just pounded it down a little further for the me that I need to be training people. Of course, you know, I've got three kids. I need to be training them, keep on, but then other people as well. And I hope the Lord did that in your heart. Father, bless us now. Just keep on playing, Miss Joanna. And men, as maybe you'd like to pray what I'm going to pray. Lord, I want to be a committing to others kind of Christian man. Lord, I want to be like that 2 Timothy passage where it says that I'm supposed to commit to others that will be able to commit to others. Father, help me be that guy, I pray. Help me not just to take and take and take and not pass it on. Help me to have that succession. It got given to me. I have a faithful daddy that strove and strived and strived to get it in me. I have a great pastor who strived and strove to get it in me. And dear Lord, may I not let their labor be in vain in my life, and of course your labor. So Lord, I pray you'd help me do that. Men, maybe you'd pray something like that as well. I never like to close a service without asking if there's somebody here not sure they're saved. I invite you to slip out and come down, and I'd love to take a Bible and show you how to be sure. I know everybody in here, I guess. But maybe you say, you don't know that about me, Pastor. I'm having struggles with my salvation. Let me help you with the Word of God. I know I struggled for years with doubting my salvation. It's a horrible way to live, that's for sure. And maybe that's you tonight. While she plays one more verse, God speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. And then if you're here tonight and you just say, I want to drive it down deep. I want to give somebody. You say, I already mentioned this, but you say, Pastor, I don't know who I'd give something to. I believe Brother Paul hit on it. You start it and God will give it to you. I believe God will bring somebody. If you'd ask him, we have not because we ask not. Well, thank you so much, men. You may look this way. Brother Paul, thank you for that great message. Appreciate that. And thank you, men, for being here tonight. And if you're joining us via live stream, you understood that this tonight is a different session than we normally have. And that's because the ladies are over in another building. And here we are as men. We're thankful to have you here with us tonight. Well, please don't forget that this Sunday, I want you to be praying, please, that the Lord would bless us in a special way. I believe I know right where the Lord's taking us for Sunday morning, and then Sunday night, a good friend and good pastor will be here, and we'll all join in this room, but then we'll break up after we get started, but we'll all join in this room to begin with. And but then we'll also be baptizing folks Sunday morning, and so we're looking forward to a great time in God's house. So you be praying for that, and we'll look forward to what God will do. There's a bus workers meeting tonight. Brother Daniel wanted me to mention it to you. It's in the Berean classroom just down your hall, the blue room, and it won't be long, I'm sure, but he wants to go over a few things for our bus ministry, and I believe that's it. Don't forget, a week from Sunday is Surprise Sunday. You say, what's that all about? Surprise, surprise, surprise. I ain't telling you. So, one thing is a joy tonight to get to sit down here. Got to sit with Brother Chad last night, last Wednesday. I sat over with Brother John. And it's, even though we weren't talking during church, that's a good thing. But it's good to sit with other men. and have that camaraderie. And I want you to thank God for you. Appreciate you all being here. Let's all stand together. God bless you, men. Have a great night. You're dismissed.